Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where I do my best to find y'all interesting things to listen to. And frankly, I don't have to look very hard to find good stuff. So today, I'm bringing y'all one of my favorite Yankee realtors, George Wanica from Staten Island. George, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
But we should probably clarify that you're the younger of the George Wanicas people might find if they Google y'all.
I am the younger, better looking version of George Wanica. There's an impersonator who is a little bit older than me. Actually, he was a lot older than me. But he's got just as much. He's got actually more experience, which is my dad.
But I'm not going to lie. You sound so much like your dad. It's crazy.
Oh, don't tell me that. He just gave me a complex.
No, I mean, I think it's a Yankee thing. Y'all all sound alike, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
So tell our listeners where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any of those fun little background tidbits that might tell them who you are.
Sure. My name is George S. Wanica. My dad says the S stands for something different, but we're not going to go there because I know we're going to keep it clean. I'm in Staten Island, New York. I am a broker associate. I'm also a certified residential appraiser as well as a mortgage broker. And I've been in the real estate business, besides from being in diapers, but actually licensed for approximately 25 to 26 years.
Dang, that's like a silver anniversary.
It is. I've told people sometimes if you commit murder, you get out quicker than have me as long as having my license. So
they should go ahead and buy because they're going to be stuck with you forever anyway, right?
That's true. Realtor for life, literally and figuratively.
Okay, so you've listened to the podcast. You know, I have two very easy ground rules. One is guilty people don't give me their real names. And then the other one is I don't mind salty language, especially over cocktails, but definitely no F-bombs, GDs, or see you next Tuesday on the show because I do have some sensitive listeners out there, although I'm not really sure who they are. So with that being said, I cannot wait to hear what 25/26 years, plus being the child of a realtor, you've got to have a whole collection of stories to tell.
I've actually told a couple of people at one point I might just take them all together and write a book. But since I've been listening to your podcast, there was a couple that really stood out for me. The first one, which my father got a real nice chuckle about, happened a while ago. It, in excess of probably, 15, 16 years ago, I was doing an appraisal for a matrimonial. And my father was away, possibly at a convention prior to my involvement, but it was away or was on vacation or something, and he wanted me to wait for him to go do the inspection. Unfortunately, though, one of the marital parties was still living in the house, who happened to be the wife, and this was the only day for like months that she could actually do this inspection.
Uh-huh.
So I said, "All right, well, I'm gonna go do this inspection, and you know, you can go look at it when you come back." So he says, "Okay, that's fine." So I made the appointment, went into the house, took a look at it. We was getting ready to go take a look at it, and as I'm walking in, she has a young child that, when I rang the door, she basically told her kid to go play down the block with their friends. And I really didn't think pretty much anything about it. And it was the summertime and she happened to be wearing a robe. So I thought there was a bathing suit or something like that underneath it. And you can kind of figure where this is going. So as I'm walking through the house and, you know, she's explaining to me all of the problems of her marriage and things of that nature and trying to be professional because we were appointed by the court and just say, listen, I'm just here to do I'm here to do the appraisal. It's at the value. I'll be in and out and kind of go from there. So as we're walking through the house, we go through the basement, go through the first level, and then we go to the second level. And, you know, I'm walking through and I'm drawing my sketch of the bedrooms and stuff like that. And she stands near the front of the door and proceeds to say, you know, I really need to have this come in as low as humanly possible so I can buy my husband out. And I said, well, listen, I don't work for you. I don't work for him. I'm appointed by the court and, you know, I have to give what the value is. And with that, she proceeds to say, well, is there anything I can do to change your mind? And opens up the robe to her bathing suit. Not the actual bathing suit, but the one that she was born in, which was like just Yeah, it was like,
yeah, I mean, it's never somebody that should be naked that gets naked. Let's just call that what it is.
I'm like, yeah, I'm very flattered and tried to make her feel that, you know, okay. And I kind of got out of there and I was like, I've thought I've witnessed some weird stuff before, but that was a first back then. And then they obviously get weirder as you go on during the course of the years in this business. But that was the first.
Did it affect the value of the property?
No, it didn't actually. However, my father couldn't wait to go to the property after I came back and said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. And he goes, yeah, right. And I told him, I said, Dad, I go, I've never in my life. And he said, you're kidding. I says, no. So he goes, when can you get me in? I'm like, Dad. I'm like, what the? So he started laughing. He says, he came back after he went in, he did the inspection. I said, you sure you don't want me to come with you? And he started laughing. He says, what, to protect me? I go, yeah, you might need it. So then he happens to go in and the kid stayed in the house the whole time. And he says, what the heck was that? She told the kid to get out. I go, hey, Dad, maybe it was just, you know, you're the older guy and I'm the younger guy, you know? What can I tell you? So that was a pretty interesting scenario, if you may.
It's just, it's a bad visual all around.
Oh, you know, and the visual wasn't, you know, every once in a while you say, oh, there's some ice candy and stuff like that. And then that one, you're going, yeah, no. So, but that was my first foray into my real estate stories. But then I had another one, which I still to this day, I don't understand it. But as they say, different strokes for different folks. We do a lot of foreclosure work and REO work in our market, especially in Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn. And one of those properties happened to have a lockbox on it back in the beginning when lockboxes first started coming out. So, you know, people know when houses are vacant and people have shown properties and things of that nature. And there was one day that I had an appointment with a prospective buyer for that property that happened to be an REO and proceeded to walk in and do my normal thing when I'm walking into any house with a lockbox on it is, you know, hi, this is George from the real estate. Anybody here? And proceed to hear somebody actually respond back.
In a vacant house. In a vacant foreclosed house.
Yes. Now, normally it would, because I have looked into houses previously and there have been squatters and people who have broken in after the fact. But no, that would be just way too easy for this one. So
squatters don't respond. Squatters just like scatter out the back door. They don't ever say they're there.
Well, some of them, we have actually had squatters actually do respond and say, yeah, I'm here. And I'm like, well, who are you? And some of them go flying out the back door. You're right. Or the window. We've actually watched one guy go out the second floor window, which was actually kind of amusing. But this one actually wasn't a squatter. This was another real estate agent with another real estate agent.
Oh, they were previewing.
You could say that. Yes, you could say that. And I got to preview their preview because they decided to make this a little love house, which was disturbing in its own right. Because in most of these foreclosures, I don't want to sit, touch the floor, touch the wall, touch anything. And yet they decided to make this their little love shack.
Did they bring like an air mattress in or they just wallowed in the floor?
Wallowed in the floor.
Ooh,
and I'd never been so disgusted. I actually had to go home and shower after walking into the foreclosure, seeing what I saw and go, oh, that's just, it gave me the heebie-jeebies. And I'm like, yeah, no, I just, sorry. And what made it funnier was they were both from two different companies and I knew who the agents were. And I'm like, oh, and to this day, I see them every so often. And there's that little smile like, I know what you did. So,
and they probably walked past you and thank God it was not in the era of iPhone, Snapchat, Instagram, because
we want to play out equal splits. You want to give me some, you know, I still have that video from you in that foreclosure. How do you want to play that? So
I think you should accept my offer out of the 18 offers you've got on your listing.
I might have some fun stories to tell about you and kind of go from there. But
maybe we have a new training angle here, George. We should tell agents that how you win in multiple offers is to have dirt on the other agent. I mean, it's just the real world.
But that was So those were two of them. Those were some of my better stories that I've encountered over 26 years. But it never fails that I always seem to forget the good one, and then it's like, oh, remember this one? So, but those were the two ones that stick out most in my head, in my experience in this. But so always a lot of fun in this business. You never know what you're going to find, and you never know who you're going to meet or what you're going to walk into.
Seriously. And we still haven't invented any eye bleach to save us from the repercussions of running into stuff.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And what made it even worse was that you thought the key would have been out of the lockbox. They actually put the key back into the lockbox.
Oh, maybe they were not voyeurs, exhibitionists.
I don't know what they were. But, you know, listen, Koki talked about somebody wanting to watch. I didn't want to watch that. I wanted to get as far away from that as humanly possible.
That's right. Now we know why he got locked in the bathroom.
I think he locked himself in the bathroom. That actually would have been probably a better idea.
Which, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to Koki Adasi's episode, you have to go listen to it, because you'll feel bad for Koki. You really will.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand. There are days I just sit back and I laugh and I go, see, this is the kind of stuff that puts us. This is why I have a smile on my face all the time, because I think of some of these stories and they go, oh, you're making that up. And I'm like, I wish I had that good of an imagination to come up with some of this stuff.
And we don't have to. The situations present themselves to us and we don't even have to look for it.
I know. Exactly.
So I am intrigued by one point in your first story. So after this lady, you know, shows you all the goods and you decline to make a purchase.
Yes.
And then you get the opportunity to go back and talk to your dad about it.
Yeah.
I look at that as one of those things that helps the best realtors not just survive, but find the ability to give back to the industry, is having somebody, whether it's a dad or a mentor or just somebody you trust, to talk to. The agents who I think get so hung up in the day-to-day transactions and tie themselves in knots just don't ever trust anybody or have somebody to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it has contributed to your success in the business and in your ability to volunteer by having somebody like your dad to be your mentor?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that knows anything about me and my dad and our relationship is, and I can honestly say he's definitely one of my best friends. And the reason I could say that is he probably won't listen to this because he doesn't know podcasts from any kind of a guest. So, but we're pretty much one and the same people. Like, me and my son are very, very similar. And that we'll sit back and we're like two bulls in a china shop sometimes if we're arguing each other's point. And then 15 minutes later, you know, we'll have the walls, you know, reverberating because we're yelling at each other, and then go have lunch 15 minutes later. And I think it's positive because I've learned so much from him, throughout the course of my teens, as far as owning property and purchasing property. I mean, one of the stories I tell people is that, you know, I've learned so much. I actually was able to learn from a young age about owning and investing in real estate, that I bought my first building before I was able to drink. And that comes from learning and watching somebody like my dad, who, you know, did a lot of this stuff later on in life. And I was able to take what he's done and try to build upon it and kind of go from there. So it's definitely very helpful. Obviously it's helpful because he's my father. But it's helpful when you bounce things off of somebody who's had that experience and that life experience of things. And even nowadays, you know, for an older person, as my dad is, as everybody gets, thankfully, hopefully one day everyone gets older, is you can listen to their life experiences. But at some point when the new technologies come, my dad is the kind of person who doesn't shy away from technology. He's got an iPhone, he's got an iPad, he's got all of these gadgets. Granted, some of the times he doesn't use them the right way, but he's not adverse to technology and new things.
Would you please teach him to stop using Reply All? That's my only request.
Listen, my only request is, Dad, could you please spell check and grammar check every email that you go out on? So he sends out emails sometimes to Kiwanis that I have to look at him and go, Dad, that's like one gigantic run-on sentence. And so I've been telling him that at times as well. So he, you know, the one thing is at least he's good at sometimes is responding. He doesn't sometimes get the reply to all situations.
Yeah, but he responds, and I appreciate that more than people who go into radio silence all the time.
Oh, I know. Or they wait for. Or my biggest bugaboo is when I get some of those emails, and you know, everybody goes, "Yes, I agree with that person. Thank you. Have a great day." And I'm like, "Okay, that contributed absolutely nothing to the conversation, but thank you anyway."
So. You know, one day you ought to reply with that. Say, y'all have contributed nothing, but I'm so glad to see your names on my screen all day long. I double dog dare you to do that.
Yeah, that
the
would,
next
yeah,
time
that
we
would
have
be,
one of these threads
that would, be the, that would be the episode of your podcast of how to make friends and influence people, I would assume, right?
Only, well, I guess after our generation takes over, we can make that happen.
Yeah,
that's
the thing is, you know, our generation is the kind of, I was like, listen, if you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. It doesn't mean what I'm saying is wrong. So
it means what you're hearing is
that's right.
Correct.
And you just have to adjust your hearing. That's all.
That's right. So what advice would you give to a newer realtor? So as a volunteer leader in your local associations, you've been giving back for a long time and you run into newer realtors who have all this bright, shiny energy and they're not cynical yet, yes. But maybe they don't have a dad in the business. So what advice would you give them to find a mentor, to find a way to fit in, to succeed? What would you tell somebody? How do you last 25 years without losing your mind?
You have to smile and you have to have fun. Don't take anything too seriously. Does it get difficult in this business? Absolutely. When I first started, I took things a lot more seriously than I do now. I'm always trying to have fun. I think that though as part of getting older and being married with, you know, three kids, you know, my outlook does kind of change a little bit, but it started changing prior to that a little bit because you don't want to completely and utterly stress yourself out. You got to have fun. You got to joke around a little bit. Some people will get it. Like when my dad still doesn't understand my quote unquote gripe sessions, and you got to find something that people are going to sit there and have a conversation about. And you know, people say, well, you know, the negative connotation of the gripe session is it's a gripe, it's a complaint, it's a negative. And I said, it may be a negative, but people remember it. And that's what it's all about. And all you have to do is have fun with it. And that, which is what I try to do. I try to have fun every single day. I try to get better at what I do every single day. And I try to become a better person every single day. I try to be a little bit better than I was yesterday, not only professionally, but from a personal level as well. So you know, you can't sweat the small stuff and you got to have a good time. So that's why we're here.
And you've probably heard the same thing that I've had, which is, Lee, how can you say what you say and still have people that do business with you?
Mm-hmm.
But I tell them, I'm like, the people that I work with as buyers and sellers, they crave knowing who you are and what you think. They don't want you to be serious all the time. They don't want you to be stuck in the mud, hung up in the legalese. They want you to have real opinions and real thoughts and live life with them, because real estate is life. It's not dry and dull and boring. It just, even if you try to make it boring, it can't be.
Exactly. I mean, everyone has that canned, I like to say, canned phone call, sales call, which drives them completely and utterly crazy. And mm-hmm. they want to know that there's a real person on the other end of this. I mean, this is what I do to feed my family. This is what I do to pay bills. And, you know, it's a common statement among people or the young people is I'm keeping it real. Well, literally, I am real. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I wear. I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, if you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. I try to do it in a respectful manner, but I'm going to tell you what my opinion is. And, you know, I could be right. I could be wrong. But, you know, it is what it is. So that's the only way to me that I figured of being around for 25 years. Most of the time when you don't blow smoke, you tell it like it is. People will respect it. Even if they don't like what you have to say, they know you're not gonna tell them something that they want to hear just for the sake of trying to get their business. So, and I see way too much of that nowadays. And I see, you know, quite frankly, agents lose customers, and then the customer calls you and said, "Hey, listen, I saw it. You know, you were exactly who you said, you know, who you are.
Right.
You actually picked up that customer because you are what you said you are." So
if there is anybody out there listening to this episode that is craving a fun and honest, experienced realtor in the Staten Island /Brooklyn / you could probably hook them up with somebody, even if you don't work that marketplace. How can they get a hold of you, George?
Sure. I have a website called www.searchstatenisland.com. But obviously, through my contacts through NAR, I know a lot of great people throughout the nation, Lee included, that I can hook you up with depending on where you're looking, as well as New York State, even though I concentrate primarily in the Staten Island and Brooklyn area and on occasional I'll do a Manhattan deal here or there. I know throughout my association at the New York State Association, I know a lot of great realtors from around the state that I could potentially hook you up with as well. So you could reach me at searchstatenisland.com. I have a Snapchat account. I have an Instagram account with Search Staten Island. I think my Snapchat is GS Wanaka Sells. You can get me on Facebook. I have Search Staten Island page. But my office number, which you get me directly, would be 718-442-2880. And my direct extension is 105. So if you put that 105 in, you bypass all of my receptionists and you literally get me. And because I am a pain, when I walk out of the office and I hit a button on my phone, everything gets forwarded to my cell phone because I do this 24/7, 365. It's not just a marketing statement. This is all I do and what I do. So I'm the easiest guy in the world to get in contact with if you try hard enough.
Just promise me you put your phone on Do Not Disturb when you're having date night with that very patient woman you married.
Well, one of the things that's funny that I do is, even though, you know, as us as realtors, we are always on call. We're like doctors, or like doctors of real estate, which I refer to all the time. When I go home to eat dinner with my wife and my three kids, really actually one of the things that I do is I do not answer my house phone, my cell phone, or any other kind of phone. And none of the kids are allowed to touch either their phones or any of that kind of stuff. So we sit down, we eat dinner. Once dinner is over, then the phones can come out and go from there. I've had people call my cell phone and call my house phone and they go, "You didn't answer the phone." I go, "Yeah, what time is it?" "Oh, it's this time." "Yeah, it's dinner." "I don't answer the phone during dinner. You know this. Why would
Good.
You call everything? Because you think I'm going to change because, oh, well, he called my cell phone. He called this home." I'm like, it can wait a half hour, whatever it is.
Exactly.
So
you knew I was going to crawl your case if you weren't carving out time for your wife and kids.
Hey, listen, I coach too. And I coach all the time. I coach my son. I've coached my daughter in baseball, basketball. So I make sure I have enough free time that I always give back, which is why one of the positives about this business is you basically make your own hours. So if I want to go and participate in practice and coaching, and because I like it and I believe in it. And to me, it's when you can get around kids and you can help them become the adult people that they're going to be down the road, and you can have a hand in that. There's nothing better than that as well. So I enjoy it. But that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Anybody listening, if you didn't write down George's phone number or website, never fear. It will be in the show notes for this episode. And as a special something, George Wanaka Sr., if you're listening to this podcast and nobody sent you the link, you went to it of your own accord, I'm going to send you a prize, but you have to send me a message and tell me that you listened to this yourself. I want to see if your dad's paying attention out there. I know he likes free stuff. So there's free stuff for you, George Wanaka Sr., if you tell me you heard this episode. The rest of the world, if you ever meet his dad, he's awesome. So if you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a regular old person who bought or sold real estate and got your own crazy story to tell, hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter, any of the social networks, and you'll subscribe for more episodes. And we'll see you next time. For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.